or you might ask me about my day and I'll be like, yo, I'm going out for dinner later with someone else. Like, I don't know. I feel like there has to be some sort of maturity. You have to be mature when engaging in casual relationships because it's not for the faint-hearted.
Welcome back to the Morning News.
Welcome back to the Morning News. Thank you for listening and subscribing. Today, we have a very special episode. We are joined by the host of Uncomfortable Growth, Guguletu Nyatsumba. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I really think I messed up the intro. Please, may you do your intro.
My name is Guguletu Nyatsumba. No, I've lied. I'm about to mess up my own intro. My name is Guguletu Nyatsumba.
How's everything?
Everything is taking a lift in my life.
Why? What's happening?
Yeah. No, just end of year fatigue. You know, when you have certain plans for the year and the year is coming to an end and you realize these things still haven't happened and you're trying to put them together, but people are on leave. You're trying to talk to brands. People don't want to pay your money. You know, it's a lot, but I mean, it's nothing I can't handle.
Is it really big stuff?
Yeah, it is. It is very big stuff.
I'm sure everything will go well. You missed 65,000 subscribers. A big part of your brand is Uncomfortable Growth, which is tied around your YouTube channel. And may you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, that's my baby. That is my first project. I created the channel because essentially I say things to my younger self that I wish someone had said to me, like early varsity when I was going through it. So the thinking behind it was for it to be a safe space where people feel heard and seen and understood and normal. And just a place where you could go get like advice, but you can still laugh, you know? If you're going through something weird or a bad phase, because you can laugh through anything in life. Like, I find things that I shouldn't find entertaining. I laugh in moments where I shouldn't be laughing, but honestly it helps me get through life. So I think just kind of having the conversations in the manner in which I do, where we're tackling a serious topic, but like show that you can laugh at these things, you know, and it's okay to be confused and it's okay to be like you don't know what you're doing, because that's life. So yeah, I think like I created it for my younger self and for my younger sister, so that hopefully as she starts to navigate university, there is some sort of guide that she has.
That's very interesting. You spoke about the challenges you had early in your uni career. Would you like to tell us about some of those challenges?
People, or rather your parents, tell you like, yo, uni is hard and you're going to have to study and it's about the books. Or rather, that was the advice I was getting, or the talks I was having leading up to me leaving for university. But it's like, as much as the books are hard, life is hard, and people don't teach you how to navigate life. And I don't necessarily think I teach people how to navigate life, but I do think that speaking openly and honestly about my lived experiences helps others that may be in the same situation. So thinking about it, I had suffered from mental health. So my mental health was not the good in high school, and then it exacerbated in university. And because I wasn't aware that I suffered from depression or anxiety, or that like taking care of yourself mentally is a thing, I ended up suffering greatly in that aspect of my life. And then obviously it affected my academics, and now my academics are going down. So now I just feel like I can't do anything. I'm a failure. You know, like I just felt a lot of different emotions, but it was fun. Don't get me wrong. Like in the midst of being sad and all the bad that I'm saying, I did have fun. Too much fun at times, but you know, fun was had.
I'm in my first year of university, and I completely understand your chat about it being so different. I've never stayed away from home, and now you go to this different place and you're staying there. That can really take its toll on your mental health. Your channel deals with a lot of introspection. And have you always been very introspective about your life and not scared to voice your opinion on things?
No, my channel is about introspection, but I didn't have a voice for a very long time in my life. And I think that me starting my channel was me finding my voice. I think my videos in the beginning are very different in that I think I'm a little bit more reserved and a bit more shy. Whereas now, obviously just I don't care. Like, I'm going to say what it is I have to say. If you agree, cool. If you don't, you don't. But I don't like conflict. I don't like being the center of attention. I don't like putting unnecessary eyes on me. Like, I can be very shy at times. And people are like, oh my God, you're lying. You're not shy. It's like, no, bro, I'm shy. Like, maybe I'm really good at doing my job and that makes you think I'm not shy. But for the most part, I am. So yeah, I just had to find comfort in hearing my own voice, and more importantly, in believing in what I had to say. Like, as soon as I was like, Google, how you feel is valid. And you deserve to tell that person whatever it is you want to tell them. Or, ooh, like, you have a brain, bro. Like, you can actually think, like, share your thoughts. Don't feel like every time you open your mouth, you're speaking rubbish, because you're not. And I think I got a lot of practice through my channel, just in having to release a video every Sunday. I mean, I have mental conversations with myself all the time. So I just had to learn how to verbalize them and feel comfortable doing so.
Was it hard when you started your channel? Because you speak about you being very reserved. So was it hard now diving into a different industry that you weren't necessarily used to?
Honestly, no. Because when I started my channel, it was a passion project and I had no idea that it would grow to the extent at which it had. As much as I was nervous, I was like, oh, there are 5 people watching my shit. It's actually just not that deep. My friends and I can laugh and say whatever and have it be that. And also, when I started my channel, I had a very clear idea of the things that I wanted to speak about. I had lived through an experience. So when I look at my content in the beginning, it's very much like, I don't know, I speak about things that I dealt with, gone through and whatever. Whereas now it feels more personal because sometimes I'm speaking about things that I'm going through in that moment, which can be more challenging. And because I have more people watching me, I'm like more nervous now than what I was back then. So yeah, but I'm grateful for that beginning of my channel. I'm grateful that I felt that way and that I felt like, you know what, let's just have fun, let's say whatever. I'm just grateful that I had a period to truly express myself how I wanted to.
I think that's why your channel's been so successful. You're talking about things that people are really dealing with. And now they relate to you as almost a big sister. I've been a fan of your channel for a while now. I've been watching your recent videos and your whole vlogs. I think one of the last ones you spoke about your imposter syndrome. And today I just have a question. Why did you stop rapping?
Because people are whack. I used to rap for me and have fun. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, you're a rapper. Every time people see me drop a 16. No. First of all, I'm not rapping for free. Like, what you guys think this is? Secondly, rapping is a skill. I've just grown to realize that the more I rap, the easier it gets. And when I'm not rapping, the harder it is for me to get back into it. So I think I just got over people and trying to like make me rap whenever, or try to have like comments about my rapping. It's like, okay, I know I'm a rapper, but I'm not a rapper. But I am, but I'm not. So I think I just got over it. Actually, I think the main reason was that as my channel progressed again, I had to give my topics more thought. And because I wasn't speaking as freely, or I didn't necessarily know what to speak about, or maybe because I'm speaking about things that I'm currently going through, I'm a bit more nervous for videos. Like, I actually don't care to sit down and start with the rap. Sometimes I want to sit down, record the video and just get it done. But with all of that being said, I do plan on making a comeback with my rapping because it was fun. And I still want to do things that I enjoy, irregardless of what people think, irregardless of if I flop, if it flows, if it's cool, if it sucks. It's like, they're worse rappers. They're people who make careers off of not being able to rap, but like, we listen to them all the time. So I'm going to just have fun with it. But yeah, that's why I stopped. Maybe next year, if you have me on your podcast again next year, I can promise you for sure, or rather the second time I feature, I will rap.
Something about you is you're very relatable. I was just like doing research on you and I saw that you created your channel in 2012. And if my math serves me right, that's about 10 years ago. As your channel progressed, did you think the type of content you had to do had to change, or did you stay with some of the content that you did at the start?
So no, I had only opened my YouTube profile in 2012. I started my channel last year, February 2020. So my channel is a year and a half old. I don't feel like that out of touch with my content, you know, like a year and a half isn't like, yeah, oh, years ago and I've like changed so much. I think my essence as a person is still very similar. What I stand for and the things that I said are very similar. My gap isn't that big. Obviously, as I progress, and when I do have like 5 years worth of content, 10 years worth of content, then I'll definitely be like, I'm not really sure about what Google was saying back then, you know, I'm a different person. Yeah. And so forth. But yeah,
that's very interesting. You've grown so much in just 1.5 years. And is YouTube something that you're pursuing full time?
So yes, as of this year, I had fully committed myself to content creation, but also just kind of finding my feet. I signed to Section 9 management, so I have a manager. So I think this year was just about like us finding our groove and the flow of things, and like him sussing out who I am and what I want to do, just vice versa. Yeah, so I am never going to leave YouTube. I say this all the time, regardless of what I do, and I do have bigger plans and I do want to do things outside of YouTube, but my channel will always be there. I think I'll always have stuff to say. I think life continues to life all the time. I think we continue to learn and grow. So yeah, but I don't know, like next year I want for my channel to elevate. I think it's been a cool first 2 years of just doing the groundwork and seeing what the feel is like and just accustoming myself to YouTube and so forth. But like next year, I want to take my content to the next level. And I can't necessarily speak on those plans right now because I want to surprise people. Yeah, I have really big plans. And I mean, I love the platform. I'm not going anywhere.
You recently joined the podcast space. Would that be something that you'd be interested also pursuing full time?
Oh, 100%. As of next year, I will be a full time podcaster as well. So yeah,
we love to see it. We really do.
Thank you. It feels like I'm not doing enough. You know, I mean, I feel like as a person, obviously, when you know what it is that you're trying to achieve and what you're working towards, it never feels like enough till you get there. So I appreciate that, you know, because I'm trying.
For me, I just really said mental goals. And from that, I just say, what do I need to do to get to where I want to get? I think as you grow, you don't have the same hunger as you did at the beginning of everything. But I think if you just continue to remind yourself about what you want out of what you're doing.
For me, it's not so much hunger. Like, I will always have the hunger to do what I'm doing and to excel and be better because I am so self-critical. Like, I only want the best for myself. I know where I'm going. I know what I need to do. I'm less willing to entertain certain things, or rather, I have boundaries. When you enter a new space, you don't know what it's like. You go into it wanting to navigate it, wanting to see what it's like. And then I've just grown to realize that there's certain things that I'm not willing to do. So it may look like I'm not as hungry, but like, in all honesty, I'm just protecting my peace. I did a video on something and I realized, I wasn't comfortable with the reaction, or I just wasn't comfortable with having that conversation. So I'm not going to do that again. I'm having a bad day. Last year, I dropped every single Sunday of the year. This year, I said, not a freaking chance. I'm having a bad day and I just gave myself the space to not release and to take care of myself first. So I think that, like, I'm always hungry, but maybe my priorities change and my boundaries definitely play a role in that. Because if I want to have a long career and a successful one at that in the industry in which I am in, it's really important that I take care of myself, because if I don't, then it gets a bit awkward, you know?
I really respect that, you having your boundaries on things that you want to speak about. You spoke about the comments and like the reviews that you get from people. Does that stuff ever get to your head?
I don't know. I'm so protective by nature. Like, I protect myself so much that I don't even really read my comments. I think I don't care for them. Like, how I view my channel is that I create a piece of content. And once you release your content out for the world and the art, I let go of it. Like, I have no more attachments towards it. So however people receive it is how they do. I'm aware that like 90% of my YouTube comments are really all love. And when I'm, I don't know, it's random. When I'm in the mood and I want to like show love back, I will go to my comments and like respond to a few things. But as for me reading every single comment that comes through, not a chance. I don't do that.
You're very self-critical and you're vocal about toxic relationships and heartbreaks. And that leads me to ask, have you ever been heartbroken?
Yes, I have been heartbroken. I have.
How was it and how did you heal from it?
For me, I'm a quick learner and I don't like to feel things that I don't like to feel, and I don't like to be in positions that I don't feel comfortable in. Whenever someone asks me, have I been heartbroken, I think of one incident in my life or one relationship, and I never want to feel that again. Like, I couldn't breathe, I couldn't eat, I couldn't sleep. I had lost myself as a person completely. And I think the reason that heartbreak devastated me is, looking back at it now, it was in a 4-year relationship, but because we were so tumultuous and on and off, it was a constant state of heartbreak, which makes it that much harder to heal from heartbreak. Because I honestly believe if you like have one breakup and you really have the time to like navigate those feelings, work through those feelings and so forth, it's easier. But like when you're on, you're off, you think you're the one, we're getting married 9-9, and then you're like, oh, what a boy. Even speaking about it, I'm like, it was a lot, and it took me a long time to heal. Like, and healing looks so different on different days. That's why I can never tell people what to do. Like, I cried. Oh, I cried. Yo, I believe in crying. I cried for a long time, for many days until I couldn't cry anymore. And then at some point I found the strength to pick myself up again and find what I like. Funny enough, when I started my YouTube channel, I think I was like 8 months into the breakup. So that was about the time in my life where I was like, okay, girl, you cried. Like, you cried, you've done it all. It's time to now like reinvest in yourself and give yourself the energy that you're giving that relationship. And because I wasn't at school, I was like, you know what? I have time for YouTube channel. So I just started to invest in myself again. And I think my channel has allowed for me to rediscover my voice, rediscover who I am. As Gugu, as someone who's single, like, what do I stand for? What do I like? What do I want to talk about? What spaces do I like to put myself in? Not because Ngachola and this man wants to go here. Like, who am I? Yeah, my channel has been an aid in my healing, just helping me express myself and find myself again. So yeah.
You said it was like back and forth, like on and off. Why would you go back? What was so special about him?
As much as the relationship didn't work, I see why I went back, and I see why that relationship was so important. important to me and why that person was important to me. A great guy and had a lot of the things that I liked. It was wrong timing. There was a lot that we had to learn and we were young and the relationship progressed so quickly and became so serious. Again, I'm not someone who's easily impressed. So for me to find someone that I really enjoyed romantically, as soon as I start to care about someone and love them, I'm not someone who's going to give up on that easily. And of course, there were times when I really should have been like, well, sis, it's a wrap. That's it. Like, you cannot subject yourself to this anymore. I don't blame myself for doing so. I would never again, though, trust me, I'll never be saying these words on your podcast ever again when it comes to a different relationship. But there were different reasons at different times. Like, the relationship did serve me. And to be honest, it was really toxic and killing me. There were parts of it that were helping me survive. And I think I was holding on to that part where it was helping me survive. But yeah.
Was it heartbreak because you guys left each other, or did it end in a messy way?
I was heartbreak for many different things. Like I said, because we had so many different breakups, there were so many reasons to be sad. Like, sad over the things that have happened, sad over like what we had both subjected ourselves to, what we both put each other through, how I felt, like what he made me feel like. The fact that you're no longer in my life, that I can't speak to, like, just sadness all around. Like, there were just so many reasons for me to be sad.
Let's just have a girl chat. Insecurities. This is a lot of stuff that not just girls face, but also guys. And this is just insecurities about their bodies and struggling to love themselves. And what does Sis GU have to say about that?
It's a process. It is a process, and you need to be gentle and kind towards yourself. Like, as much as I may not always like what I look like, I'm appreciative of my body. Like, I'm appreciative that I get up, that I can walk, and that I'm healthy, and that it gets me through the day, because days are long. 24 hours is a long time, okay? A year is a long time. A few years is even longer. And I've grown to realize that even though I may not be feeling it, I'm always beautiful and I'm always deserving of the best. I don't have to look a certain way. I don't have to be a certain dress size in order for me to get the things that I want. Like, I think as women, we do that. Like, oh, when I'm here, when I look like this, when I'm like dead, then that's when, like, no, sis, how you look right now is perfect. If someone is not wanting to embrace you and acknowledge how beautiful you are in the space in which you are, it's not worth it. But yeah, it really is a process. And I view my body as something I can work on. And I think that's why I'm not like too hard on myself. There's certain things in life that we can't change, but my body is one of the things that I can change and that I am in control of. And I know that losing weight is obviously hard, but I find a lot of peace in working out and it helps my mental health. So I just want to do things that make me feel good and make my body feel good. Even if it means that I don't have a six pack, if I feel good, then that's all that matters.
If you can't change it, then you shouldn't worry about it affecting your life. And I think the thing is, even with insecurities, a lot of people seek social validation on looks and stuff like that. So when you reach the point of someone telling you, oh, you don't look good, that completely crushes them. But I really just agree with what you're saying about owning yourself, like, love yourself. If you feel like you can change something, change it. The next topic is, what's your take on casual dating and open relationships?
Oh, what is my take on casual dating? I like to casually date. I think it's really important to casually date. I think it's important to see multiple people at one time, safely, of course, and honestly. Yeah, I think it's very important to learn what you like. And you don't know what you like unless you experience it. So, yeah, and it's fun. Like, for me, to speak quite openly, it's just been fun experiencing different people, like different types of people, different flavors, just different everything. Like, people appeal to different sides of you. I think there are things that we know we're attracted to, but there are things that you grow to appreciate. There are things that you only start to like when you experience in person. Like, maybe you didn't know that you like someone who's a certain way, and then you go on a date and you're like, oh, this is something that I really like. Like, I really enjoy that someone is this way. Also really helpful in showing you what you don't want, because when you're dealing with like multiple people or casually dating, for the most part, they're probably reciprocating your energy or just treating you with more respect. The more interactions you have, the easier it is to suss out when someone isn't meeting you where you need to be met. Whereas when you're dating a person at a time, you can be seeing this person and you're not necessarily sure of how things are going, but because you have nothing else to compare them to, and I'm not saying you should compare people, but I think you can just tell when someone is taking you seriously or not, if something is serving you or not, if you're having a good time or not, if you're giving more energy or not. When you are surrounded by goodness and you have good relationships in your life, it is so easy to spot out the relationships that aren't good. So I believe in casually dating. Again, if you are single, because people want to be in relationships and also casually date, I'm like, I don't know about that one. Yeah. But if you're single, have fun, especially while you're young. Like, do your thing. There's no pressure to settle down. I have a lot that I want to do. So for me, casually dating really works for me right now. Like, I don't necessarily think I can take on a relationship with all the work that I have, but I want to be able to go out for dinner when I want to go out for dinner. You know, like, if I want to have some cuddles, surely I should have the option of still being able to access stuff like that. So, like, I just be like, for the modern woman, casual dating is just, it's it.
When you casually date, are you open to everyone else that you're seeing other people?
You know what's interesting to me? It's, I hate when people assume that they're the only person I'm seeing, because at no point would I have said that, you know? So it's always so interesting to me when men are like to me like, yo, I haven't seen you for a bit. Or they say something like, yo, I know I'm the only nigga who's you, the only nigga who's doing what? Who said that? Like, when did we say that? It's just so important to ask, especially if it's our first two dates. I don't often find the need to explain that I'm casually dating on the second date, because I'm also just trying to suss out your vibe and see, you know? Like, for me, that conversation happens when, like, okay, I've seen you for a bit. I can see we enjoy each other. I'll be like, yo, I just want you to know. Or you might ask me about my day and I'll be like, yo, I'm going out for dinner later with someone else. Like, yeah, I don't know. I feel like there has to be some sort of maturity. You have to be mature when engaging in casual relationships, because it's not for the faint-hearted, hey? Like, people can become attached very easily, can have expectations very easily. And it's like, well, I'm not here to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not how I'm going about it.
The last one is, can you cheat and love the person?
I don't know. It's a hard one. I feel like we're constantly, and when I say we, I'm talking about women, like, people are constantly trying to make us believe that's normal, that a man can love you and so cheat on you. Like, I do think someone can have love for you and cheat on you, but I don't necessarily know that you can be in love with someone and cheat on them. I don't know that you are in love. I don't know if you really love them. But also, I think it depends on what love means to you. And I've also grown to realize that it means different things to different people. Love now and not back then. I think I had a very distorted understanding of love. Like, for me, it was love and love cured all. Like, love didn't go hand in hand with respect. It didn't go hand in hand with loyalty. For me, love was just that big emotion that was going to cure all the problems, all the trust issues, all the everything. Like, as long as you love me, that's it. But obviously now my understanding of love is different. Love is respect. Love is loyalty. Love is kindness. Love is patience. Love is warm. Love is not cold. Love is not mean. Like, and with what love now means to me, you cannot claim to love me and cheat on me. I mean, to answer your question, no, I don't believe that you can love someone and cheat on them.
I think I agree with you. I think you can be in love with the idea of someone being there. I really don't think there's anything like cheating by mistake, because I'm sure you're aware of your actions. But I really think that you can't cheat on someone and still claim to love them. On the podcast, we have a signature question, which is, what does happiness mean to you? So today, Miss Nyatsumba, what does happiness mean to you?
What does happiness mean to me? Happiness to me means just being able to be Google in every aspect of my life, in every sort of the relationships I have. So within being Google around my family, being Google around my friends, being Google at work, like never having to be someone else, being so content in who I am and believing that who I am fits in every room and that there's never a time where I need to alter who I am as a person or change the things that I like about myself or how I express myself. So happiness to me is being most true to me. And when I'm being the most true to me, I'm very intuitive. I'm listening to the things that I want. I'm putting myself in spaces that I want to be in. Or rather, even I think when you're very true to yourself, that energy exudes you and you attract things that fall in line with who you are. If I'm always good and I'm true to myself, I know the people that I attract will be good people because they understand who it is that they are wanting to interact with and wanting to engage with, and they know who I am. Yeah, I also spent a large amount of time not being happy with who I was and not feeling confident in what I had to say and just being in spaces. So for me, happiness is just being happy being me and knowing that I'm enough at all times and just doing what I want and taking care of myself. If there's one thing I believe in, it's spoiling myself all the time.
That's a very interesting perspective on happiness. And with that, I'll just like to say thank you so much for joining us on The Morning Muse today. It means so much to us and we absolutely love the chat.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I thoroughly enjoyed this conversation. I obviously hope to be back one day. So...